Well, hello, this is Carrie Fox, and back for the newest episode of Mission Forward podcast. I'm here today with Art Taylor, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance. And I have been thrilled and honored to get to know Art over the last couple months through a number of different reasons and opportunities, but most importantly through a great new innovative series, partnership, so many ways you could explain it, on advancing collaboration. And it's a partnership that the Better Business Bureau has launched with the Stanford Social Innovation Review and some other great partners at the table. So I would first say thank you to Art for doing what you do.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here. And what I'd love right out of the gate here is for you to tell us a little bit about advancing collaboration and why you had this idea and brought it to life.
Well, advancing collaboration came from our work internally doing our strategic planning. We kind of looked at our work and realized that we had made a lot of progress over the last 15 years. But we also realized that things were changing very fast in our sector and indeed in the world. And we embarked upon a journey to try to figure out where do we go from here as an organization. And the long story short is that we discovered in order for us to grow and continue to be innovative in our work and to meet the needs of donors and many others who value what we do, we were going to have to collaborate with others. And once we realized that collaboration was important to us, then we also began to think about why or how you collaborate and who would want to collaborate with you. And it drove us back to this notion that in order to collaborate, you also have to be trustworthy. So for all these years, we've been telling donors and we've been telling charities that they need to be trustworthy in order to get donor attention, in order to get donors to give them money. And we're now at a point where that's not only true for donors, but it's also true for charities who need to collaborate with each other. It's very clear to everyone that you won't collaborate with someone you won't trust. And so we decided that maybe there's more work we need to do to help the sector understand that trustworthiness is not only important for reaching out to donors, but it's also important for finding your collaborators. And if we're going to be effective and impactful in the years ahead, we're going to have to collaborate as a sector.
That's great. Good. So I am certain that most people listening to this have heard of Better Business Bureau, absolutely, have heard of the Wise Giving Alliance, but might not know truly the role that you play and that critical role you play in helping organizations build trust. So tell us a little bit about your work.
Sure. We see ourselves as a bridge between charities that operate effectively and, more importantly, ethically, and donors who want to support organizations of that kind. And the way we go about it is by establishing standards that determine, in our opinion, whether a charity is trustworthy. And then we apply those standards to evaluations that we do of charities and ultimately reports that appear on our website, give.org. So we do rigorous evaluations in relation to holistic standards to determine if charities are trustworthy. And in that way, donors and others can go to our website, see these reports, and know if a group is indeed trustworthy. And our standards cover four basic areas. First being, how well is a charity governed? Does it have a governing board that is well-suited? Is it independent? Does it meet regularly enough? Does it have the requisite number of members and diversity to make good decisions? Is it overseeing the operations of the organization and evaluating the performance of the executive? Is it free of conflicts of interest and related party transactions so that it's positioned to do its job well? So governance is an important element. Secondly is the finances of an organization. And, you know, many people talk about the financial ratios, that is, how much money is going to overhead. Well, we have two measures that look at that. One is to determine whether a charity is spending reasonable amounts on fundraising and reasonable amounts on programs. We ask that charities spend no more than 35 cents to raise a dollar, and we ask that charities spend at least 65% of its budget on programs. And we find that that is well within the ability of most charities to adhere to, and it doesn't freeze out the ability of a charity to invest in the appropriate administrative and fundraising needs that they have. But in addition to those areas, in terms of finances, we also want to make sure that an organization is adequately reporting its finances, that it's getting audits if it's of the appropriate size, and that those audits are available to people to review. And of course, organizations should have budgets that are approved by the board, so that from a planning standpoint, the board is able to know if they're operating appropriately within those guidelines. And so from finances, we go to the extent to which an organization is trustworthy with the information that they're sharing. So we look at appeals, that is those fundraising solicitations that charities put out. And we want to know that those appeals are truthful and not misleading in whole or in part, so that people who rely on those letters or those appeals have reliable information when they're making their giving decisions. In fact, we know that most people don't check out anything other than the letters they receive in the mail before they give a gift. And so if that information is not accurate, or if it's misleading in any way, then people are relying on the wrong information when they make those donations. So we really check that out. And we want to make sure that charities are providing annual reports so people have a sense of what they're doing. And if they fundraise on their website, we want the similar information on the website to be accurate and truthful as well. And then lastly, of course, is the charity assessing its effectiveness in meeting its mission? We don't look at those reports ourselves, because we want the charities to do hard-nosed evaluations of whether they're actually achieving their mission in their programs. But we do want to make sure that the charity has a policy of assessing its effectiveness, and that the board of the organization actually participates and sees those impact assessments. So those are the four broad areas, but in all there are 20 standards that fit into those four areas. And charities provide us with the information we need to do these reports. And if they meet our standards, we'll accredit them. And if they don't meet the standards, we'll let the public know which standards they don't meet. And the charity can also issue a statement about their position on whether they believe that the standard is one that they should meet. So we try to cover the whole gamut that people need to know in order for charities trustworthy.
That's great. And I'm really glad you ended where you did, talking about evaluation and measuring, and are charities asking themselves the hard questions. And we started this by you opening up and talking about your strategic planning process. And that's where we spend a lot of our time, is helping organizations face the tough questions, because it's in the tough questions of where are we going, why do we exist, how are we going to get there, that those breakthroughs happen, right? And breakthroughs are coming back to collaboration. How do we think differently about solving the problem, or how do we think differently about moving the mission forward? So let's go back to collaboration for a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about how you see collaboration working and how you see this field evolving to require collaboration.
Sure. Well, let's start with the second question, how I see the field evolving. If you were to go back 15 or 20 years, you would probably say that social good was the sole province of nonprofit organizations, mm-hmm. of charities.
Right.
There's really no one else out there doing this work other than nonprofits. But today, we know that's not true. In addition to the 70,000 plus organizations that are entering the nonprofit space every year as charities, there are companies that are engaged in social good. In fact, most companies now have some aspect of their work that's tied to creating social good. They use mm-hmm. it to attract employees. They use it to retain customers. There are many reasons that companies that are in the business of generating profit also find value in generating social good. So they're now competing with charities in the social good space.
Right.
You have apps from that are created by startups that enable individuals to engage in social good without organizations.
Right.
So if you wanted to support someone who needed help, there might be an app somewhere that you could sign on to and identify the person who is needing help,
mm-hmm.
and you could provide that support without going through an organization. And then you'll find that there are all sorts of data sources that people use, especially in the case of health. Healthcare is now in a position where we can take information about a person's genetic makeup, other data that's being fed about an individual, and know more about how to serve them from a health standpoint. So there are all sorts of new ways of providing social good that we didn't see before. And with technology and new ways of doing things through social networks, we're going to find that social good is everywhere. It'll
mm-hmm.
just be in the air.
Mm-hmm.
One great example, I think, is how social networks are enabling movements to take
mm-hmm.
place without organizations.
Right.
We saw the Arab Spring come up largely without lots of money and without organizations leading the way. These were individuals who found other people who thought like they did through social media and created whole movements.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we'd have to have robust organizations leading this charge.
Right.
So if you can imagine that we're only at the beginning,
right.
you can see that there's a lot of activity taking place on the edges of social good, and that's where a lot of the innovation is occurring. So if you're a nonprofit organization, how do you keep up with all this? How do you continue to do the great work that you're doing in the programs that you have while also identifying these new opportunities to serve at the same time? And what we say to people is it's hard. It's hard to do it alone.
Right.
But if you want to find a way to work with others, then maybe you can take a little bit of what you're doing, maybe not so well, and working with others who may be doing something that they are doing, maybe doing a little bit better than you, and you can collaborate that effort and come up with something really new, create new value that way. But don't just do it once.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to do it many times. Find a way to do it so that you're failing fast with the things that don't work,
right.
and that you're scaling the ones that are actually working.
Right, right. When you think about collaboration, do you think primarily about in-sector collaboration, so charities and charities, or do you think equally about charities and corporations or charities and governments?
I think about charities and charities. I think about charities and governments. I think about charities and companies. I think about charities and startups. I think we have to find opportunities to help and achieve
mm-hmm.
our mission with collaborators of all stripes
right.
and everywhere we can find them.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is that it's going to be easier and easier to find your collaborators if you're open to it
right.
as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. You talked a lot about the elements that you're evaluating organizations on through the accreditation process of the Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance. And while you're not necessarily evaluating them on collaboration, are there elements that organizations display or characteristics that they display that would maybe inform if they would be a better partner, if they'd be a better buddy to somebody?
Yeah. Well, I believe that the first is governance, because if you don't have a board that is really engaged and supportive of what's going on inside of the organization, is really keeping tabs on whether the mission is moving forward, then it's really hard. You need a governing board that is open to it and that is willing and who sees success more than they do competition. Competition is great, but if you're really about success, it may not be so much about competition. It may be about working with others to achieve a goal. And it's hard for staff people sometimes who are so focused on the programs they love so much to pull their heads out from away out away from what they are doing and what they love, to actually look broader at the mission of the organization and what it's really trying to do, and say, even if we didn't do these programs, there may be other ways for us to actually accomplish these goals in partnership with other people. So I think the board has to be the group that actually sets that tone, and they have to be the ones that create the freedom and space for executive directors and program leaders who are really open to collaboration as well.
Okay, good. So that is really helpful, because I think those are some keys that everyone should be thinking about. And starting first, I love, as you say, focus on the board. If you're thinking about success, making sure that that board is at the table and ready to invest in that kind of success. So Art and I first had a chance to meet at an event that he co-created, and I had the great honor of attending the Philanthropy Experts and Leaders Academy, better known as PELA. So I would love you to talk about this collaboration and how that played out. And really, from my point of view, it was one of the most exceptional events that I've been to in a long time. And there were some really unique things about it. And one of those was the intimacy of it. So tell us more about PELA.
Well, as you pointed out, PELA was a lot of fun. And it was one of these activities that we created out on the edge of our organization. You certainly wouldn't immediately think that this activity was central to what we do. Although the more you understand it, the more you'll see that the potential of it to be central to what we do is really powerful. The idea was that if you got a small group of leaders together for a couple of days, and you provided great content providers and gave them a chance to work with that information, that they would develop rich and lasting relationships. They would learn a lot, not only from the content providers, but from each other. And they would create friends that could go on years and years and maybe even generate great collaborations in their work. And so we created this opportunity where we got together for a few days with about 20 leaders. And it was terrific, as you say. Everything that I just mentioned seems to be happening with PELA. And as we go forward, we think that we have the potential to grow PELA, not in terms of the number of people at a particular event, but to have lots of PELAs where there are cohorts of PELAs, where people have the opportunity to engage in a year-long activity with each other, where they're getting together periodically throughout the year, either by phone or in person. And they still have an annual meeting where they get this great content and a chance to see each other again. And we just think that the future of conferences can be both large, as we currently have, but they can be lots of small conferences that add up to large numbers, where executives are getting what they need, which is the intimacy, the confidentiality, and the learning that can come from sharing ideas with each other and great content providers. So That's what PELA's all
about. Yeah, that's great. And really, I think the word to sum up this conversation, but also advancing collaboration in general, is relationships. I mean, what you did so well at PELA was build relationships. If we think about collaboration and that importance of trust, it all starts with relationships. And so I think that's what you all are doing so well, and you're planting these seeds for other organizations to do the same. So what you're doing on the edge of your organization, I love that. I think that could be an important takeaway for folks listening, is to challenge all of us, whether we're running a for-profit or a nonprofit or any institution, what are we doing at the edge of our organization that gives us a proving ground for collaboration? Because it's in that, right? It's in that test period that great things can happen.
I completely agree with you. And this isn't something that I came up with. My mentor, Bob Johansson from the Institute for the Future, has authored a number of books, but he's coming out with a book that will talk about the leadership literacies that we need to have in a world where everything that can be distributed will be distributed, mm-hmm. mainly because of technology and social networks. It's no longer the organizations that are powerful, central powers that have all the information and insight. People at the edges of our society have access, just through their phones, of libraries of information and access to each other. It's easy to find people who think like you or people who don't think like you, if you want to. And so the edges of society have the potential to generate lots of creativity and speed the pace of change so that we're able to solve problems.
Right.
And if nonprofits are going to succeed in accomplishing the great challenge and in fixing the great problems of the world, then I think we all have to learn how to empower what is now our thinly structured edges of our organizations.
Yeah.
And this is the way I think you do it, by collaborating.
Right, right. Well said. Well, thank you so much for giving us a couple minutes today, and thank you. Yes.
There is one last point I want to encourage everyone to do. I want you to go to our website, give.org, and if you are in agreement that collaboration is a good thing, you should go and sign our pledge to advance collaboration. If you're an individual, there's an opportunity for you to sign as an individual to support organizations that collaborate. And if you're an organization that is open to collaboration and you want to let everybody know, then you can do that as well. And then download our logo and put it on your website that you advance collaboration so that others will follow in suit. And we can create this movement around collaboration in the nonprofit sector and really solve some problems together.
That's great. I'm glad you said that. I am one of the signers of the Advancing Collaboration Pledge, and I'm proud to be there. So, Art, thanks for everything, and thanks for giving us some time today.
Well, thank you.